Let's get back to the Cyber Advisor on TalkZone.com. Once again, here is David Revell.
Welcome back to your guide to online investing. I'm Dave Revell, and you can join the show anytime at 888-463-6748. This week, we are giving an up-to-the-minute review of the events that are happening on Wall Street. One of the big reports is the whole story about credit, credit throughout the marketplace and so on, but specifically credit to that one segment of the economy that causes the most number of employees. About 70% of the employees in this country work for small businesses, and this is clearly an area that has not been well served of late, and one of the areas that if we want to turn the economy around, we're going to have to look to improve. CNN was reporting this Monday that small business lending has fallen sharply. Emily Maltby reported on CNNmoney.com that the stimulus, despite emergency stimulus measures, small business lending continues to fall. In the just ended quarter, the Small Business Administration's flagship program backed 30% fewer loans than it did a year ago, and 55% fewer loans than it did in 2007. For the full year to date, the situation is even darker, she reports. In the 9 months of 2009 fiscal year, the SBA has approved roughly half as many loans as it did last year. Sales slow. Many small business owners are looking for financing help to help them weather the recession, but banks have clamped down on money on making these riskier loans. The area of credit in our economy is one of the central themes, one of the central things to look at. And one of the persons who has his hand on it is Ken Chenault. For 28 years, Ken Chenault has been the CEO of American Express cards. And recently he sat down with CNBC's Rebecca Quick at the Economic Forum. Rebecca asked him, are we in for a recovery right now, or are we not? Cut 6A, Mr. Engineer.
I think it's way too early to say that we're in an economic recovery. I think what's important is that at least what we're seeing is some stabilization. If we think about where things were last fall with the credit market seizing up, it was a frightening situation. So stability, I think, is important, and I think that's been very helpful. What I would say is there are some signs that potentially could lead to some green shoots. For example, as I look at our business and I look at card billings, for the last several months, we've been in the same range. So we've had double-digit declines, but now we've held.
And now you're kind of you're at zero, so it's not like you're celebrating we were down 20, now we're down 10.
I wish I was totally flat, but we're off a double-digit decline, but we have not seen any further declines. But we have not seen any increases. Mm-hmm. But to have several months of stability in billings, I think, is encouraging, but I wouldn't characterize it as a recovery. Right. If we can go for another 2 or 3 months and start to see some build, then that's going to be pretty encouraging.
Here's maybe the best guy in America to ask exactly how is the economy doing right now, and here's his assessment, not a political assessment, just a plain, absolutely 100% honest assessment. He's seeing a little more stability. He's nowhere close to recovery. Stability, not recovery. So let's take a look, and what does he think that the government is doing for him to promote help stimulate his part of the economy. The one act that will probably impact him the most is the new Credit Card Reform Act. This is the act that has been proposed by the administration to change the way in which credit cards like American Express operate. Cut number 6B, please, Mr. Engineer.
Here's what I think is important, and I really do want to emphasize this. I believe very strongly that the credit card industry needed to be reformed. I think there were practices relative to back-end pricing, mm-hmm. relative to certain types of fees. I think there needs to be more disclosure and transparency. So I was very supportive of the president's move to, in fact, reform the credit card industry. Mm-hmm. However, in some areas, I think it went too far. One example would be the more limited opportunities to dynamically price, because risk-based pricing is important. We live in a dynamic environment,
right.
And if someone's financial situation changes dramatically and you don't have the flexibility to price, what's going to happen? The very people who need credit will not be able to obtain it at the same level, and it will be more expensive. For our company, our economics are set up very differently. 80% of our revenues are generated from card fees.
So every year
and
when you get the charge
fees,
to use the
right.
card as opposed to...
So we are not as reliant as our other competitors on spread revenue.
Right.
But from a public policy standpoint, I have a concern that as we are trying to restore the economy, because consumer spending is two-thirds of our economy.
Yep.
And I think what's very, very important is that when we put in regulation, the question needs to be asked, will this regulation restore consumer confidence and, in fact, improve the economy? And I have a concern that this regulation, parts of it, may stifle the growth that we need in our economy.
See, people often ask me, well, what's wrong with government intervention in some areas of the economy? What makes that so bad? The government is, they're basically composed of good people, well-meaning, trying to do the right thing for their constituency. And this is specifically one of the problems. As Mr. Chenault is pointing out, you need dynamic pricing on a credit vehicle to respond to an ever-changing economy. Last year, when there were very few people who were defaulting on their loans, pricing might have been one way. This year, when the number of defaults is going up dramatically, you need to have a different pricing. The government coming in and setting a set price, capping everything, will effectively mean that certain people in high-risk segments of the market simply will not get credit. And if they don't get credit, then what Chenault is saying here is that it will not spur the economy. Two-thirds of the economy, at least, is consumer spending. If we cannot get the consumers the same level of credit that they had before, if we reduce that level of credit, we'll reduce consumer spending. It's an absolute and absolutely straightforward. Finally, Rebecca Quick comes back around and says, asks Mr. Chenault, okay, when will we see growth? Will we see the economy improve in 2010? Next cut, Mr. Engineer.
You know, again, very hard to predict. What I would hope is that we would start to see some improvement, maybe sometime in the second half of 2010. But again, that depends on jobs. Are they being created? Very importantly, consumer confidence. And if that happens, terrific. But that's not how I'm planning to manage my business. The way I'm managing our business is, what are different scenarios, both growth scenarios, and what are different scenarios of contraction? And how do we identify the opportunities where, in fact, we can grow? And I think one of the ways to do that in an uncertain time is to provide customers with unparalleled service, because the reputation and the brand of companies in financial services, I think we have an advantage there.
Okay, this is very important. Here you'll hear the distinction between a person who's actually operating within the economy and a lot of the analysts that you hear on Wall Street. The conventional wisdom by the analyst is that we would see recovery in the latter part of this year, 2009. Chenault is saying, nope, I'm not seeing any recovery until 2010, the latter half of that. And not only that, I'm not planning to manage the company for recovery yet. I'm simply trying to manage the company for the economy as it stands now, and hopefully meet opportunities in this new, slower economy. It's a dramatically different approach than you're hearing from the average Wall Street Journal, but it's from probably the key man who's actually doing things in the economy. Well, we will move to another area right now, and that's Bill Gross. Bill is in charge of the PIMCO funds, the world's largest bond fund out in Newport Beach, California. And he was interviewed on CNBC just shortly after the jobs report came out. And if you've heard Mr. Gross over the years, generally not that much of a pessimist, generally not really that down, but this is an entirely different Bill Gross as he assesses what it means to the consumer economy again to have lost 465,000 jobs, which was the June job loss. Cut number seven, please, Mr. Engineer.
Yeah, this job report, Joe, is a hunger artist type of job. It's an anorexic report. It promises to be so going forward in terms of the consumer sector. With unemployment likely to go to 10%, that produces a stark number of more than 15 million out of work and needing a job. And in addition, as my report pointed out, another 20 million are working part-time or have dropped out of the labor force, and that's 35 million people. How does the consumer economy work with so many people out of work?
Okay, so here we have the person on the other side of the credit equation. He is the man who lends. He buys bonds. Bonds essentially are a part of the things that yield credit. And the equation for him is back to the consumer, 15 million out of work, the 20 million underemployed that we reported before, 35 million total. The reporter asks then, okay, well, we have, unemployment at 35 million or whatever. Will the other 90% of employed people be able to carry that load? Cut number seven, please, Mr. Engineer.
Well, we heard 10 minutes ago from Mark Zandi, and he's good. The fact that this report showed anemic wage growth. So you've got not just people out of work, but you've got consumers that are working, not making much in terms of raises. You've got them raising their savings rate from 0% to what we think is ultimately 8 to 10%. And you've got a problem of credit worthiness in terms of those that want to borrow. So you put all that together and you've got a consumer problem, not just now, not just in 2010, but in 2011 and 12.
Wow. So he moves the calendar even out. Now remember, Ken Chenault had us second half of 2010, hopefully things moving up well. Bill Gross has just moved that out to 2011 or possibly even 2012. That is a dramatic change in the economy. But how long would that dramatic change help? He was again asked that question. I mean, how long will that dramatic change last? Will it last for a while or not? Cut number seven, Mr. Engineer.
Well, I think for a long time, for a generation. Much like we saw with the Depression, I mean, attitudes change, and so consumers, investors will now become conservative savers as opposed to spenders. And yes, the spending was driven by asset appreciation, but at some point, in terms of houses, in terms of the stock market, in terms of other assets that are appreciating and that can be borrowed against, that game stops. That game has stopped, and so we must now move in the other direction.
Okay, so let's make very clear, Bill Gross is not speaking here of the recession lasting that long. He's talking about a change in consumer habits. The so-called housing ATM, the ability to borrow against your house, was one of the primary generators of economic growth over the last 4, 5, or 10 years. And Gross is saying that is gone. We will see a generational change in the way consumers behave. If that's the case, it has profound implications on the growth of this economy and how investors ought to place their money. One of the most interesting fallouts of all of this has been in the state of California. Now, California, as you know, had very high real estate valuations, which seem to be declining now, and all of the other economic problems seem to be hitting at the epicenter of California. On Monday, Fitch, which is one of the three rating agencies, Fitch cut the ratings of California's long-term general obligation bonds by two notches to BBB. Now, general obligation bonds are the highest quality bonds that the state can offer. Everything else is not quite the quality that general obligations are. So if they cut general obligations to triple B, you can figure the rest of the California portfolio is no higher than that and possibly lower than that. The reason for the cut was based on the state's inability to achieve an agreement on its budget and cash flow solutions amid a severe financial crisis. Legislatures in the state had been deadlocked for more than a month on ways to close what is now a $26 billion deficit in a $92 billion generated fund budget. The state plans to issue a little over $3 billion in IOUs to thousands of creditors this month after lawmakers failed to come to an agreement on a way to close the massive budget deficit. In other words, the state simply ran out of money. They're now going to issue IOUs. Fitch went on in their rather lengthy statement to say, watch out, California, you are still on the watch list. The watch list is the list that Fitch puts out saying these potentially can change again. And unfortunately for California, watch list with a bias on the downside. So if triple B, just two notches above junk status, is not bad enough for California, Fitch is saying, look out, we're ready to even look further. Complicating this whole situation, the Securities and Exchange Commission comes in, the SEC comes in and says, you know those IOUs? We're thinking of declaring them a security. In an official statement, the SEC says this. The staff of the SEC has expressed its belief that California recently issued IOUs are securities under the federal securities law, and as such, holders of these IOUs and those who may purchase them are protected by the provisions of the federal securities law that prohibits fraud in the purchase or sale of securities, quote unquote. Seemingly a good move. But as the market ticker pointed out, there is imputed interest, no doubt, on these IOUs until paid. That imputed interest would probably be about 3.75%. And so how do we claim the imputed interest if we're given an IOU? The state of California also owes me interest on that. If the state decides not to pay it, is the state getting income for not, is the state getting imputed income on the interest that it failed to pay? In any event, this promises to be a real mess. Get your cup of coffee and a donut and watch as this kind of unfolds. Well, it's time to take a short break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back with a special look at Nassim Taleb. There's more right after this.